Hey there, folks, and welcome back to, for the first time in a long time, Hardly Heroes. I am Caleb B. That's where you can follow me on Twitter. Follow Eddie at EDDYC85. Follow His Highness. He's finally back. John Edward at, what the hell's your name again?
Jorge Blanco Jorge with an H.
Well, you know what? I'm very sorry that I forgot your Twitter handle, but you haven't been on the show in a month, so please forgive me. Guys, we're going to get right into it. We're not crunched for time, but we're going to get right into it, damn it. It is June 13, and we're here to review the first episode of Loki on Disney Plus.
That's correct. Oh, man. Loki and Disney Plus.
I think the best part of it, I was just going to say, I don't want to cut you off, but I think the best part of it was when Michelle McCool and Layla helped them out at the beginning of the episode.
I was about to make a low-key joke, too. But it was going to be about not believing coronavirus was real or whatever stupid thing it was he said. He said that, didn't he? I didn't just imagine that.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, good. Well,
yeah, he's a part of that Davey Richard, or not, I shouldn't say Davey Richards, but I don't know about Davey Richards. I think he actually works in medical stuff and maybe knows what he's talking about. But he's a part of that, like, Austin Aries, TJ Perkins, they're out to get us, oppressed little man group that thinks everything's a conspiracy.
That's fun. Well, this is not that low-key. This is the other low-key played by Tom Hiddleston.
The God of Mischief.
Boy, was he mischievous, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, this show, if you're not familiar, it takes place, if you remember from Avengers Endgame, low-key grabs the Tesseract and just disappears out of the movie. And we don't know what happens to him. So.
Okay. That's what confused me with Endgame, though. Because I rewatched the, like, parts of Endgame before this. Because I just wanted to refresh my memory on things. And in Endgame, Loki grabs the Tesseract. And then there's the scene after the fact with him as Captain America, we assume. And Captain America fighting. But it seems like it's the Loki version of Captain America that won, is what I gathered from that. And that everything that happens after that with Captain America is Captain America is actually Loki.
If I
don't know why that read that way to me, but that's exactly how it felt watching Endgame, which I didn't pick up on the first time that I watched it.
If I can step in, Steve Rogers was not fighting Loki as Captain America. In-game present timeline, the time-traveling Steve Rogers was fighting the, at the time, present-day Steve Rogers was what was going on.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay.
Yeah, and this was the Loki. It's the same Loki from the first Avengers movie. That's who this is, because when I was doing research, when he says, like, I've had a very long day, it was, because his day started out, he was trying to take over New York, he got beat up by Hulk, and now he's at this, prison, so that was what that was in reference to.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when I only watch part of Endgame and don't rewatch the entire thing.
Well, it's a long movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he grabs the Tesseract. He transports to a desert. And I liked the opening part where he's trying to, like, tell these random people that live there who he is. And then, like, these time agents show up and he's just like, forget it. Never mind. These people aren't important enough to talk to. But yes, we had the Time Variance Authority, the debut of them.
Just another big government agency there to control the little man.
Yeah, I liked this group. I liked the idea that there's, like, now one singular timeline, which they explained in the waiting room. With, I guess, like, Lady Time or whatever her name was. But it's like they referenced a Great War, and, like, we have to put all things to one timeline. And I thought that just when watching The Great War that they meant Thanos and the Avengers. Apparently they're referencing a movie that hasn't happened yet of The Secret War, so I guess we're building to that, which will take some time. No pun intended.
I was gonna say, are they not talking about the Eternals?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure everything from here on out is gonna be building towards Secret War, which, if you don't know, is basically just this dude recruits all the good guys and all the bad guys, and they fight on a big battle royal on one planet. So, kind of cool.
That's kind of neat, to be honest.
Yeah, so that's, I think, what they're building to. And I think the time variant, the TVA, they're like, well, we can't have that again. So let's all put everything onto one timeline, and we'll just go from there. So that is what they do. And they explain that, hey, we can't have all these other stray timelines, because then it creates a multiverse. And I'm just going to assume that by the end of the series, a multiverse is created, because I don't see these guys succeeding.
Well, Spider-Man...
Isn't that also the next Doctor Strange movie? Right? It's like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I mean, that's supposedly the next big, like, reveals, I suppose, that's going to happen as far as leading up to building towards new things, is that movie. I'm sure they all will with that one specifically. So, Loki goes on trial after he has to verify everything he said, which is a great scene. And then he...
it's verify everything you've ever said. And then it's like, really? And then he goes, okay, end this. Are you kidding me? End this. And he keeps adding pictures every time you're...
Yeah, and then he goes on trial, and I got the feeling that the judge had never actually, and I'm guessing this is the case for everybody, no one's actually met these three, like the time keepers, or what, I forget what they were called, but it just seems like they were...
I don't know, but if I can cut in, I'm going to need a Jean-Claude Van Damme cameo.
Did you say Jean-Claude Van Damme? Like
Jean-Claude. That's how people say it. Jean-Claude. Okay. Jean-Claude. Or I could say Jean-Claude, like you freaking imbeciles. But yeah, either way, because, you know, Time Cop. So yes, give me a JCVD cameo.
Well, Time Cop is a great movie. We should review it sometime. but yes, Loki is guilty. And we get our podcast debut of Owen Wilson, who is
Wow, like I had one reaction, and it was just wow.
Yeah, Agent Mobius.
Owen Wilson plays Owen Wilson in everything, doesn't he?
Well, he played Agent Mobius in this.
Agent Mobius, the range of Stephen Hawking.
Mobius. Only imbeciles call it Morbius. But yes, he played Agent Mobius, and he wanted Loki to help him hunt someone who he's hunting, which is also Loki, but upon some research, it is a female Loki. Another, in a different dimension, Loki was apparently a girl. So, there you go. But that's who, And they pointed. There's another scene where Owen Wilson's in like a church, and they're investigating a murder from like the 1500s. They point at the devil, and I already read. No, it's not Mephisto. It's supposedly Nightmare, who is similar. So I think that's as close as we'll get. But yeah, so he needs Loki to basically hunt himself, which is a female version of him. So yeah, kind of interesting there.
But hey, Loki as D.B. Cooper, huh?
That was good. Yeah, they show him a list of all the things he's done, and we kind of got a little bit of We kind of got a insight into Loki. Like, he just likes hurting people, because it's like he didn't really have a plan. It's like, okay, so let's say you take over Earth. You know, then what? And then you take over space, and then what? And it's like, he didn't really have a plan. He just enjoys hurting people and causing mischief, and Loki kind of realized that. And it is worth mentioning, Mobius was drinking I can't remember the name of it, Jolt or Jolted, something like that. It was a short-lived energy drink from Pepsi, and there's a lot of things...
Yeah, I remember Jolt.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in this universe that apparently just exist because you can just get anything, whatever you want, and... Like, another thing that was I enjoyed was when they go into the universe for the first time, the Tesseract just stops glowing. So, it's a different universe, and I don't think anybody there was affected by the snap, because they kind of live outside of everything else. But then Loki escapes this, not really a... Well, he escapes the interrogation room, and... He sees, like, the guy that helped check him in. He gets his collar off. He sees that, like, everybody just collects Infinity Stones because they're not a big deal here. They don't really have any power. That was good inside the drawer.
Yeah, the drawer of Infinity Stones. Pretty funny.
Yeah, I also noticed inside the drawer was a Honus Wagner baseball card, which those retail for about $3 million. And he's just, you know. Just stuffed it in a drawer. But, like I said, they can just get anything they want through any time. So, yeah, he escapes. He figures out... He puts the strap... not the strap. The collar strap on... let's see. It was...
The eight.
Yeah, I want to get her name because I liked her character. It was... I guess just Hunter. Hunter B-15. Huh. Anyway,
you don't need her name. She was a real see you next Tuesday, so I don't understand why you need her name.
I liked the character. It was fun. But yeah, he puts the collar on her and just kind of like keeps rewinding her until she disappears out of the room. That was good.
Yes, absolutely.
And then Loki watches all of his videos. It was very reminiscent. It reminded me a lot, and I saw this on another video, so I'm not ripping off their thought, because I thought this when I watched it. It was very reminiscent of Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation, a movie neither of you have seen for some reason, even though it's awesome, where he's watching his family movies, except in this one, his mom dies, and he watches himself get killed in a reality or a timeline he never knew happened. So he's sort of realizing, man, I do cause a lot of problems, and, maybe I should kind of change my ways, I suppose. So, I liked that. And then he agrees to hunt down whoever this killer is, and then we transport to Caleb's backyard, where the killer steals a bunch of, oil, and they think it's a time thief stealing oil. But not so. They use the oil to incinerate the old TVA, and they can't. They use these little hourglass things to, like, correct a timeline when they leave, but they couldn't do that this time, so. Yeah. Female Loki.
First, look, okay. I never would have expected, and I get why they did, because, like, okay, we need a good oil town. Let's go with there's Salina. Let's go with Salina, Oklahoma. Awesome. I never expected to even see this thing referenced once, because this isn't Tulsa. This isn't Oklahoma City. This isn't even Bartlesville. This isn't Norman or Stillwater. This is Salina, a school that is, like, the same size as the one I went to. We literally played them in football. My graduated class was 60, so I can assume theirs was just as small. So, I mean, to see this town referenced, it's odd. Very odd.
Well, I can relate. I remember watching the show Rescue Me, and they referenced London, Ohio, where I grew up, so that was crazy. Or, now let me ask you, because I did a little bit of research on Salina.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard. You guys ever hear of a place called Brooklyn, New York? That's where I grew up. It's a little city. I don't know.
Actually, no, I've never heard of Brooklyn. Where is it? Brookline? Well, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's Brookline. It's Massachusetts, actually.
Fair enough.
Now, let me ask you. I did some research on Salina. Have you been to Piggin' Out? It's a restaurant.
I've literally only gone to Salina once. It was just to play football. That's it. There's nothing in Salina, sir.
I'm looking at it, and there's Piggin' Out, and I think you need to go to Piggin' Out.
Which is what, like a barbecue joint? No, I'm good. We got, bruh, I could trip and fall into a great barbecue joint here in Oklahoma. It's not a problem.
It's, look, it's not about, it's about the experience, okay? There's people, millions of people watched Celina, Oklahoma on Disney Plus. The biggest exposure this town's ever gotten.
Absolutely,
and now we're plugging Piggin' Out, which I never would have known about if it wasn't for Loki, and you won't even drive however long it takes to get there to eat some Piggin' Out.
Well, let me look that up right quick. See how far it would take me, how long it would take me to get there.
It looks pretty good. It's like an outdoor food stand.
180 miles. No, thank you.
I thought you lived right near.
I live in somewhat, like, in proximity to it, okay? As in, it is within driving distance, but, like, there's nothing out there.
That's the case for most of your state.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, fans, I tried to get a firsthand knowledge of Celina from Caleb, but he's too lazy.
Yep, you got me. You got me.
Caleb only drives 105 miles every day for work, so 120 or whatever you said is too far.
That's yep. True. Man. Anyway, yeah, like I said, Loki agreed to help Mobius hunt down whoever this is, which is a female Loki. It's not really a spoiler if you looked at the cast.
Yeah.
Of course, if you didn't, sorry. But, yeah, and that was essentially the first episode. There's a few Easter eggs in there. Nothing too crazy as far as Easter eggs go, but what did everybody think?
I thought it was fine. I mean, it's world building. This is just the first episode. I thought it was fine, but I don't think it was more than fine. I will say that.
Of the three Marvel series so far on Disney Plus, this was my least favorite first episode. But it doesn't necessarily mean it won't turn around. It was kind of blah to me.
Really? Although I
love the idea of the TVA, and I did like when Loki talked about how he doesn't want to kill people, but he has to keep up the illusion or whatever. But overall, I don't know. It felt lacking. And I'm kind of disappointed that it's going to be a female Loki now, knowing that, because I didn't know that before you said it. And I was just hoping it would be him versus him. And I don't know.
Well,
I'm sure it'll get good. I'm sure it'll get me more invested. But right now, the first episode just seems a little dry, and I wasn't crazy about it.
Well, So, a couple thoughts from me. I believe this is something a coworker told me, so blame them if this isn't the case. I think this was supposed to be the first Marvel series, and somehow they just made it the third. I don't know.
Watching it, that would make more sense. I feel like, because this felt very much like the initial setup to something.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's a lot of development that we need for it to get more entertaining.
So I'll say this. It wasn't better than WandaVision. I thought the first, because they dropped the first two episodes, if I recall. That I liked a lot because it was so intriguing. Like, we still didn't even know what the show was at that point, which was really interesting. The first episode of Captain America, I guess it's Captain America and Winter Soldier now. But the first episode of that, other than the opening action scene, I thought was kind of dull. It picked up halfway through the season, but yeah, I'm a big fan of concepts. I think it's maybe why Final Fantasy VII is my favorite all-time video game, just concept alone. So I love the concept that there's now these three people that no one's ever seen, that we just assume exist, and that they have created one singular timeline, and that they have these time police that go through and correct everything. I think that's really interesting. I like that Loki's going to be working with Owen Wilson. That could be a lot of fun. I like the time universe, how everything is different there than it is in, you know, the other realities. So I think
part of it
could be really fun.
Yeah, I think part of it
I just don't like Owen Wilson as an actor. I think he stinks.
I think he's great.
I
also have never, in my defense, I've also never seen any of the Thor movies in full. I've seen the Avengers and both, like, you know, Infinity War and Endgame, but that's basically my entire exposure to Thor. And I watched the, like, Marvel Legends thing that they do beforehand, like I've said in the past, because as somebody who's not familiar with a lot of the movies, it gives a good backstory. But I don't know, I think I just don't like Loki much as a character.
I think an actor also.
Like, that's a problem too. I think I don't like both actors in their roles. So that's, I think, gonna be a problem for me too going forward. But if the writing gets better and the jokes are good, because I appreciated parts of this. Like, I love the guy at the desk who he threatens.
And Casey.
I like some of the side characters. But, yeah.
I think...
To me, I think it will definitely get better, because all these series have. But it's going to take time for me.
I think you would like Thor 1, and I think you'd really enjoy Thor number 3.
I'm almost positive I would like, Ragnarok? What's his name? Did the same guy who did, was it James Gunn? The same guy who did Guardians, right?
Taiki Waititi.
Oh, the guy who did, Jojo Rabbit. Okay. I knew it was somebody who I liked. But yeah, the guy who did Jojo Rabbit. So I'm sure I would like that if I seen it. It's just, like I said,
the biggest
without the prior investment in Loki, this didn't do anything to make me care about the Loki character or story anymore. I like the idea of the timeline and that there is this one agency that polices all timelines. But at the same time, what's a little bit hard is, like, if we're accepting the existence of the TVA, then to a degree, doesn't that kind of make every Marvel thing from here on out moot? Because it just means that everything is going to go according to plan. Because if there is one singular timeline, then ultimately, no matter what the TVA does, it's going to be set right. I don't know.
I think the TVA gets created after the Secret War, which is a movie that probably won't exist for several more years. But because it's time travel, they can retroactively go back and, you know, involve themselves in, 2012 with Avengers. So I don't... Like, if we're looking at this as a singular timeline, the TVA is not created until several movies down the line, but because it's time travel, they can go back and be in any movie they want. Also, I don't know if female Loki will be necessarily the main villain of this show. That's just a hunch I have. I feel like something else will be there, because they pointed at, like, the devil, and that's not...
I like the idea of Loki fighting himself, too, just because of, like, he clearly realizes he has these flaws and he knows that he's, like, hurt innocent people and whatever. And I think him having to literally fight himself and not just this weird alternate version of himself that isn't the one that we've seen from previous movies would maybe help his, like, backstory and make him more sympathetic, where it's, like, if it's this character that we're calling Loki but doesn't look like Loki, I feel like it doesn't feel the same.
Well, one of the Easter eggs was when they were looking at his file, and it said, like, gender. Underneath it said fluid. So, I guess in other timelines, he could have been, you know, born a female, so.
I guess. It's just, I don't know.
I enjoyed it. I liked the whole concept and everything, and I'm curious to see where it goes. So.
Oh.
I wasn't huge on. I loved WandaVision from the start, just because it was so weird and different. But I wasn't huge on Falcon at first either. Although I liked the first episode more than this one, but that eventually grew on me. And they had that, what was it, the third or fourth episode when everything kind of turned that really hooked me in. So I figured if by episode like 3 or 4, I haven't gotten into it, then I know I'm just not going to. But I'm willing to give them a few weeks and see if they develop this more and get me more invested.
Well, I hadn't watched it. I plan to. I just, this week was crazy. But is MODOK worth watching? And
it's,
sell me on it, basically.
Yeah, okay. So I only watched the first episode still. Even though it's about a half hour.
I think I would be more appropriate to try to sell Eddie on the show than in this case, because I've seen the whole run.
Oh, it's all out.
Well, honestly, I don't want spoilers because I'm only one episode in, but yeah, if you could just talk about the general idea or anything specific to the first episode, then go for it.
So, Eddie, first let me ask, do you like Robot Chicken?
Yes, that was a good show.
Okay, because, you know, right down to the animation, to the fact that Seth Green is attached to the project.
Well, yeah, I say the animation style is the same, but I feel like it is... It does tell a story. It's not. Like,
it does. Yes. 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 There's a narrative. There's a web. A yarn being spun here. But it's very irreverent. Much like Robot Chicken is. It's very irreverent. Patton Oswalt voices MODOK. So if you like King of Queens or Patton Oswalt's stand up, that's a good way to go.
Patton Oswalt writes for King of Queens.
No, I didn't say right. He was, he was in King of Queens. He was, Spence. He was like a neighbor, I think, or a friend to Doug. Either way, that being said, no,
friend
this is,
Doug.
What?
Which one was Doug?
Doug Heffernan, the main character in the show.
Oh, I thought that was QT Marshall.
Ah, damn it. Anyway, Patton Oswalt voices MODOK. You don't see any appearances from mainline Marvel characters, except for Tony Stark.
I was at the beginning in Iron Man, when he gets Iron Man's boot.
Yeah. Yeah, he got his boot. And MODOK.
It starts with Iron Man. He's fighting MODOK, but he's watching the Great British Bake Off in his helmet as he's fighting MODOK, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, MODOK is very much a kind of hapless. He's definitely B-level, maybe even C-level, especially with the amount of effort that a Tony Stark puts into this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's basically him, you know, trying to run, and I can't remember the name of the company right now, but him trying to run this company.
Stark Enterprises.
No, not Tony Stark, but MODOK trying to run a particular company that he's already running, but he's running into the ground, and he's trying to balance family life, and it's a whole thing. Let's see here, what's her name, from Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine voices his daughter Melissa, and what, Ben Schwartz, the guy who voiced Sonic the Hedgehog, voices his son Lou, and Lou is just he's wacky, he's a good time for sure. But yeah, if you like something that, you know, is more irreverent.
Isn't Melissa his daughter? His wife, not his daughter?
No, Melissa is his daughter.
Okay. I feel like I'm a little lost then.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Were you thrilled to have a TV show based in your city, John? Like Caleb was?
No, I was not.
Okay.
Although I've never seen an episode. Although I do like Andy Samberg and Lonely Island and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, if you remember John Ralphio from Parks and Rec, that's the guy who voices his son. So good stuff. I would recommend it. It's more irreverent than your mainline Marvel shows, and
I was gonna add that I guess his daughter, but like I said, I thought it was his wife. That she, because at one point he takes over her body and stuff, and that's why I thought it was his wife and not the daughter, because he. Yeah, it's his wife. It's got to be his wife. It's not his daughter.
Melissa is not his wife. Melissa is his daughter.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm gonna fact check you on this one.
Go to IMDb and look it up. I don't care, sir.
Well, while he looks that up, I want to just drop a very quick next door post of the week. It's more visual, so I apologize, but all it says is, "It's great to be here. I'm Kalon. I literally just ride around on my bike in knight armor." And he's got a photo of himself on a skateboard, not a bike, in knight armor. So, welcome to the neighborhood, Kalon. And,
You knew I was confused? I figured it out. It's because you were talking about Melissa, but I realized Melissa's, like, not in the episode all that much. It's Amy is the one who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
She's, but because Amy is the one who he takes control of the body of, and Amy is the one who is becoming
first off
an influencer and brings Amy on the brand ambassador guy, whatever.
Amy is the actor's name, not the character's name. The character's name is Jody, but yes, you're correct.
Well, like I said, I watched it once, and I feel like I was like half distracted while I was watching it, but I enjoyed the first episode that I did see.
And the advertisement on Facebook uses Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind as the bumper, so that's, if you like that song.
Who doesn't?
Do-do-do. Do 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 do.
All right. There is one other topic I wanted to get to, and it's kind of outdated, but it also isn't. It's more of like an ongoing story, and I've been meaning to bring this up for weeks, but I keep forgetting. So I guess I'll do it now. I have to know Caleb's thoughts and John's thoughts, even though he's not as much of a fan, on the. The big rumors of expansion slash relocation for MLB teams.
So, is there rumors of expansion? Because I've heard the rumor that the A's are going to get relocated, but I haven't heard anything about expansion.
Yeah, they eventually want 32 teams.
Okay.
I think okay. Everyone does.
Well, I would say that's cool, but I know Oklahoma City's not going to get one, so it doesn't really affect me either way.
No, Oklahoma City was not one of the six cities named.
Yeah, I don't care then. Like, if they want to expand, cool. I mean, the divisions will get realigned, so we'll see how that goes. They'll probably go to the NFL format.
What cities were named? I assume, because I haven't seen the list at all. I haven't seen it either,
but I'm getting it.
Can I assume Seattle, Portland?
Seattle's already got a team, so they don't need a second one.
Yes, John is definitely.
You know, I was saying, you know what it was? Seattle's getting they're getting the Kraken in the NHL, and I know there's been talk for years about them getting the Supersonics back, and the Mariners haven't been relevant since Ichiro was in his prime, so.
Totally. Mariners haven't been relevant since Alex Rodriguez was there.
Yeah. All right, scrap Seattle, but Portland and Vegas, right? I know Portland. I heard that at one point.
Those two got to be on there. I assume
Vegas has to be one because they're getting teams left and right. It feels like.
Yes, Portland, Las Vegas, Charlotte, Nashville, Montreal, Vancouver.
Okay. Montreal again.
Yes.
And here's the thing, two of those cities could be taken care of by relocation because there's been talk for years that the Rays might be relocating. And Montreal was, you know, because the plan, I want to say in the 2020 season going into that, was play half of the season in Tampa and half of the season in Montreal. And then the pandemic happened and that, you know, that just couldn't happen. But that so, yeah, correct. To see Montreal get- would not be shocking at all. So we could see four new cities getting teams, but, you know, only two expansion squads.
I don't know. Baseball stinks, and the less baseball, the better.
Whatever, dude.
You know what? I stand corrected. MLB baseball stinks. I like minor league baseball. Minor league baseball is fun because it's full of gimmicks. It's full of, like, over-the-top cartooniness.
Hey, do you know what minor league baseball needs to exist?
Major league baseball?
Exactly.
Nah, not really.
Oh, by the way, while we're on the topic, Thursday night, I went to the Drillers game. By far, the best and worst experience I've ever had at a game, all wrapped into one. Okay, let me explain. This game started at 7 o'clock. It was 90 degrees outside. Okay? 90 degrees. Both teams scored at least 10 runs. So the pitching was bad. There was a lot of pitching changes. This game went for 4 hours.
Oh, I could one up you on that one, actually. I'm looking it up right now to find the exact game that I went to one time.
The Drillers were down 10-4, but they did come back, and here's how.
Well, so, thank goodness.
Yes, I know. 7th and 8th, you know, they start to close the gap. Bottom 9, 2 outs. 10-7, two runners on. We're down to our last strike. dinger, three-run home run ties it up. The crowd goes insane. Of course, if you watch the video, it doesn't sound like it because, you know, baseball stadiums, open air, not great for acoustics. Of course.
Okay, I found it. July 21st, 2006, I went to a Brooklyn Cyclones game.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Cyclones and the Oneonta Tigers played the longest game in the history of the New York Penn League yesterday. Oneonta won 6-1 at the Cyclones Keyspan Park in Coney Island in a 26-inning game that ran 6 hours and 40 minutes.
I would think it'd be longer, honestly.
That's awful. That's awful, dude.
I'm pretty sure it was very hot that day, too, if I remember. I'm looking up the weather for that day.
Yeah. We go to extras, so I get to see the Ghost Runner in action. And that was, yeah, it was interesting. You know, I'm not a fan of it in concept at the major league level, but seeing it in person is like, okay, that's cool, I guess. Anyway, into the game comes with a two-run dinger. Me and Will, very excited that the Drillers won, but also very excited to be leaving because even though it's 11 o'clock, it's still 85 degrees outside. It was hot.
Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to a super long game like that. No.
Yeah, like I said, that's the only one for me. I've been to some overtime hockey games and some overtime basketball games. I think maybe they just die.
What in the hell is that?
I don't know. I thought you guys all just died on me. It's no. Loki. He's messing up our timeline. He's here. Oh my God, we have guest Tom Hiddleston on the line.
Yes.
Now,
hello, my name's Tom.
I have been to the Blue Jacket game with the largest margin of victory, which was it was 10-0 against the Montreal Canadiens. It was also Well, you don't care, you're not a fan. But there was
I love the Habs.
But it was their largest margin of defeat in Montreal's history as well. So that was fun.
That actually does make me happy because, like I said before, we used to have Rangers season tickets, and the Canadiens fans were the worst. Worse than Pittsburgh, worse than any of the local teams. Canadiens fans were insufferable and obnoxious and loud.
And they probably spoke French too, so I would also be perturbed.
Yeah.
No, they just kind of sat there in misery, not even. By the way, Pittsburgh fans to me are the worst, but.
They're not great either, but like I said, having Rangers tickets for a few years and having seen both teams play a lot and in the playoffs, it's the Canadiens fans are worse than Pittsburgh, actually.
Yeah, they were just kind of... I think
because they have that, like, Montreal elitism, where at least Pittsburgh, like, it's still the U.S., they're still kind of a blue-collar town, and yes, they have a lot of bandwagon fans because of Crosby, but overall, they just don't have that same sort of, like, stick up their nose at the world that, like, Canadiens fans have.
No, they just sat there, and it looked like the life got sucked out of them as they watched goal after goal after goal, and, like, we're laughing, and it was like, oh, it's 7-0, it was like a touchdown, and then little did we know there was three more goals to go, and it was quite something. And I think Montreal was even in first place at the time, so they probably thought they were going to see a win, and instead they saw the worst loss in the franchise's history. So, 10-0. I'm glad I bet Columbus -9.5. That would have been really close.
John, let me ask, and could the elitism come from the fact that, and this isn't me bragging because I've been a quote-unquote fan for 6 years, so... Not seen any of them, but could it be
the championships? Yeah, it's the same thing like with Yankee fans or Laker fans or Boston fans. It's like it is definitely that, but it's that combined with like I've never been to Montreal, but I've heard that there is a very sort of like from people who have visited that there is a very like look down on Americans sort of like thing. Not only look down on Americans, but look down on even like the English speaking Canadians. And just, they think who they are, kind of. Obviously, that doesn't apply to everybody in any group, but it seems like that's a prevalent attitude in a lot of Montreal. And
I asked someone who's been to Montreal, I don't know. Like the downtown is where I stayed, and I imagine
I know one person who went and like loved the food, loved the experience, but I think they just went, stayed at a hotel basically, and then like came back. They really explored.
I mean, it's like my uncle used to go there a lot for business, and his office was.
Did he say hello to anybody while he was there?
It was a different uncle, but he didn't really like the people because if you didn't speak French, you know, whatever that they. But he that was more on the outskirts of the city, downtown where I hung out mostly. It was fine. Like pretty much everyone's bilingual anyway, so it didn't bother me. And you know, I say I hope they do get one of the MLB teams. And I kind of, you know, going back to that. I have different feelings on both cities. With Oakland, I feel bad because they've already lost the Raiders and they lost the Warriors.
They're losing everything.
Yeah, it's just the Warriors are just across the bridge, so it's not that big of a deal. Although I know California traffic sucks, but not the worst move. But as a fan of a team who almost moved, it does suck. So they've lost two, probably gonna be three. I would love it if they could just relocate to, like, San Jose or Sacramento, but that's probably not too likely. You know, the fan, as I'm a big Las Vegas fan, I would love to be able to see what they would do with a ballpark on the Strip. That would be a lot of fun. And, I mean, Charlotte and Nashville could be good ideas for cities as well, just because the whole South, I think, is kind of underrepresented. They have one team in the region with the Braves and looking at the College World Series, it seems like, you know, states like, you know, Alabama, Tennessee, North, South Carolina, they all love college baseball. So might be nice to throw a team their way. I would say Tampa though. Look, I would feel bad if Tampa lost a team. I'd feel bad for the fans, but not the same bad as I would feel for Oakland because Tampa has had that dumpy stadium for years and years. They've had plans to build new stadiums. They've never done it. We had a game a couple years ago where I can't remember who hit it, but it was a ball that hit off of a speaker, and it's like, oh, that's in play, and Tampa like beat the Yankees because of this ridiculous rule. It's like, what? And now you've got your crappiness of your stadium is actually costing my team games. That's when I draw the line. So no, build a new stadium. Break ground on a new stadium 365 days from the end of this season. You have 365 days to break ground on a new stadium. Otherwise, you can get to Montreal. Portland, sorry, get your city under control, then we'll talk about an expansion team. But, yeah. And Vancouver, I don't know. I feel like two teams of Canada is enough. We don't need a third one. I like Vancouver, but
I don't think they'll, like, if... I do think Montreal will get a team. I don't think they will give Canada a third team, though, for sure.
No, I think they'll get Montreal. Just like Montreal, when they lost the Expos, it was a different city back then. They didn't have the resources and means to build a new stadium. Now they do, so that's fine. And I think they'll support a team. And like I said, I would love to see what Las Vegas does with the stadium. Because look. I've been to 26, hopefully out of the end of this year, 30 major league ballparks. The most disappointing, not worst, but most disappointing one was the Arizona Diamondbacks, Chase Field. Because you're in Phoenix, you can draw inspiration from the desert, all the stuff that goes with that, you know, bull skulls, cactuses, sunsets, all that stuff. You can draw inspiration from Native American artwork. Anything, and they have the most bland, nothing happening stadium, and it's like, hey, but we have a swimming pool in the outfield. Cool. That's like $1 million to rent because it's like super expensive, so no one can really enjoy it. What else? You walk around, it's just this gray, blah, nothing stadium, and yeah, disappointing. The outside of it's really cool, but you know, get the Southwest. Draw more inspiration from your region, Phoenix. Jeez, your stadium sucks. Yeah. Las Vegas will destroy you as far as the stadium goes.
That is the one thing that I do like about Major League Baseball, and probably the only thing that I like about Major League Baseball, is the differences in stadiums. Because I've said it before with like wrestling, I'm big on visual changes, and just so everything doesn't look the same every time you watch it. That's why I like uniform like alternatives and stuff. So baseball having all the different fields, and then even those different fields having different dimensions, I do think that's one of the things that makes baseball interesting, but unfortunately the game itself still sucks.
Yeah, it's
well, you know, it's just one of those things. You're not smart enough to get baseball, so that's kind of.
Yeah.
Also, as far as
can't fathom how that what do they do with the ball? Do they hit it? Do they like what happens with that?
Oh my God, we weren't recording together at the time, but. Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman Will Craig, MVP, man. MVP.
Oh my gosh, this guy.
the best, just the most ridiculous play I have ever seen in baseball. And hats off to Javi Baez for somehow doing a rundown between home and first base, and it worked.
Pittsburgh.
I think I actually did see that.
Yeah. I saw something.
Every once in a while, baseball have something exciting. But
something...
I feel like it's so rare.
Something came up on my time hop from when I went to Pittsburgh in 2015. This team can't even print out, because you know around stadiums they have like banners of the players, like whatever stadium you go to. The freaking Pittsburgh, man, I don't know what it is. The one of the players, like there was clearly a print error on the image, and they hung it up anyway. And it wasn't so much, I put it on Twitter. Let me throw it into the group chat here. It's not so much that it's like a minor error where I wouldn't even like care about that.
Well, I saw it and I couldn't figure out what it was at first that you were like that you had an issue with, but maybe if I looked at it again.
Well, there's two major errors. One, the player has a third hand that's like coming out of his belt. It looks like some kind of a weird hand keychain. And then I'll just say it. They put, like, a big giant cone where his penis is. I mean, there's no other way to say it. That's what it is. And
okay,
it's like...
The shadows look odd, for sure.
They just hung it up, and they're yep.
That bad lighting choice. I think the way they lit the banner... I mean, not that it makes it better, but it looks like they lit the banner poorly.
Well, the hand is, like, a copy of his left hand, and it's like...
Yeah, I thought the hand was a glove, to be honest, though, but...
Well, the glove is kind of, like, off the banner, but, like, the hand is, like, a copy of the other hand, but it's just, like, pure white, and it's clearly, like, a print error, especially in the crotch region, like, and they just hung it up, like, yep, this is good, and it's like, guys, you couldn't have just reprinted that? Like, that's why you're the Pittsburgh Pirates. You would never see the New York Yankees hang up a thing of Aaron Judge where he's got a big cone penis. It just wouldn't happen. They would redo it. And I get printer errors happen. I'm sitting next to a printer that makes errors all the time. But I don't ever send something that's like, well, this looks like ass. I'm just going to send it anyway.
Oh, man.
Like, good of course time. It's Pittsburgh. That would be the only team that would do this.
John, I'm going to see In the Heights tomorrow. Very excited.
I enjoyed it a lot. The music wasn't... I was actually a little disappointed by the music because it wasn't as catchy as Hamilton was.
Yeah.
I like the story a lot, and I can't really spoil it if you haven't seen it.
Well, but
the ending hits home to me, and I'll just say that.
You can spoil this, and I think I know the answer, but I do want confirmation. Is the movie loaded with thick Latinas?
Yes.
I'm in.
I don't know about loaded, but there are a couple. There's what's her name? Dasha Polanco, I think, from Orange is the New Black, who, yes, is all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I am sold.
She is the highlight of the movie, as far as visually.
Plus, I mean, like, dude, I just went to see Peter Rabbit 2 yesterday. I've been taking flyers on movies because I have Unlimited.
Yeah, I was like, that's what, you guys have been knocking me, but, like, having Unlimited, I guess I haven't been on the show in weeks to say it, but I'm up to now 24 movies that I've seen, I think, since April.
Wow. See, I've seen 6 in a month, and I'm impressed by that. So, I mean.
But I also live. I was like, you also live in the middle of nowhere. I literally drive maybe 20 minutes by street. I don't even have to go on the highway. And in a 20-minute drive, I'm at my theater. So it's not, like, an issue for me. Sometimes even less. I can probably be there in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, do take Veronica to Peter Rabbit 2. It was fun.
Yeah, I've been debating because I think I've said it before on here. She has autism, so it's like she's very specific with the things that she likes, and then it's like hit or miss as far as like how her behavior is going to be during a lot of that sort of stuff. So in general, it's like I don't know, like. More cartoony movies seem to be up her alley, and things that have a lot of music, especially like Frozen we took her to see like 3 times, like the second one. But she's been on an animal kick lately and talking about like old McDonald and farm and stuff like that. So maybe she might be into the rabbits in it.
Eddie, any movie that needs music to advance the plot, I'm out. I'll make exceptions for Disney animated movies. And like,
see, I feel like music,
live
I feel
theater like, is fine, but like movies with songs, no thank you.
I don't know. There are musicals that I despise. Like there's only I think 2 movies that I've ever turned off while watching, and La La Land is one because I thought it was a horrendous piece of garbage in a movie. The music
that's your Shape
is
of
so
Water.
Terrible.
Everyone needs an Oscar winner that it's like, no, this was actually trash. And La La Land is for you. Like, Shape of Water is for me.
I've never seen the second half of La La Land, so maybe it gets good. But the first half of it was just so terrible. That and Beastly, I think, are the only 2 movies I've ever actually turned off while watching. And I was excited for Beastly because I'm a big sucker for, like, romantic anything, basically. And I was like, this is such corny garbage that it wasn't even like fun corny and bad, it was just bad. But overall I like musicals. I like Phantom of the Opera a lot. I like Rent. I think music is a big piece of movies, and even if it's like, I know a lot of movies aren't musicals where it's not like the characters singing the songs, but I think the soundtrack is what makes a lot of movies, and if you take time to add in movies, very few movies would still be good. So even if it's like not, like I said, a soundtrack per se, but the score or whatever. So I'm big into like musicals and stuff like that.
I feel like the next movie I'll be seeing is probably Black Widow, not until July 9th.
There's a lot of good movies coming out this summer, though, that I do want to see. Or I don't know if they're going to be good, but like movies that look interesting to me. Like, have you guys seen the trailer for The Comeback Trail?
No.
That looks really fun and interesting. It's Zach Braff and Robert De Niro and Morgan Freeman and Tommy Lee Jones. And it's Zach Braff and Robert De Niro are like filmmakers, and they were going to make this movie or whatever, and then they see that like this star of another movie dies. They're talking about it, and they're like, oh man, that must suck for them. And then Zach Braff is like,
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah. It's like a Western.
They collected the insurance money or whatever. So it seems like the whole concept of the movie basically is that like Robert De Niro and Zach Braff owe Morgan Freeman a bunch of money. And so to collect that money, they're not going to actually make a movie, but they're going to make it look like they're making a movie. And the whole point of making the movie is to try to kill off Tommy Lee Jones, who's like this old stuntman. And so they put in all these like crazy stunts and stuff to try to.
I'll probably have to go out to Tulsa to see it, but yeah, I will probably go see that.
That's one. Reminiscence looks really good to me just because I'm like, I'm big into nostalgia and trying to relive my past at all times. So Reminiscence looks like a really interesting concept to me too. And then I forget what else, but there's like a handful of movies that I really want to see this summer.
Yeah. I will be seeing F9. I'm probably going to see that new Purge movie when it comes out.
I probably will too. It looks bad, but that's the point.
Black Widow, I'll see that. Shang-Chi in September. What's the Snake Eyes? I'll see that as well.
Trying to see what else this summer.
Like basically, I'm just gonna see everything.
Well, that's really what I've been doing. It's been kind of nuts, everything that I have. Oh, the movie, the new M. Night Shyamalan. I think it's M. Night Shyamalan.
My God. That's actually one I won't be watching.
The one with the beach where they get old?
It looks so dumb. It looks like The Happening bad.
But what that's what I want.
Oh, yeah. I know that one. I might see it because it looks stupid.
So I'm gonna run through my list and I'm gonna make it as quick as I can. But literally since April 2nd, I've seen Nobody, The Unholy, Godzilla vs. Kong, News of the World, The Croods: A New Age, Tom and Jerry, Minari, The Father, Boogie, Mortal Kombat, Nomadland, In the Earth, Wrath of Man, Raya and the Last Dragon, Spiral, Profile, Scoob, New Order, A Quiet Place Part 2, Cruella, Dream Horse, Spirit Untamed, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, and In the Heights. And then just last night, I went to go watch the UFC pay-per-view in the theater, too. So, 25 trips to the theater. Well, I guess not trips, because some of those were double dips.
Did you enjoy the guy getting his arm broken and the referee not stopping it?
Yeah, do you know they actually said he didn't technically break anything? He just dislocated it and they popped it back in?
Gross, dude.
It looked nasty.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. The main event was disappointing, but the rest of the card was a lot of fun, and it was so much fun being... I've been to quite a few UFC events live, but I've never watched any pay-per-views in a movie theater. And that was kind of a fun experience because I haven't been to an actual sporting event since the pandemic, and just being in a theater that there was a decent turnout and hearing people get into it as the fights got exciting and stuff, and everybody jumping out of their chairs at the end of the Diaz-Edwards fight when Diaz had Edwards on the ropes for a second. It was a fun experience that I haven't had in a long
time. Let me ask one final question before we roll out.
Yes.
When it feels like, I think maybe LA, but definitely the Yankees, when are we going to get full stadiums again? Because I feel like it's annoying watching my team be the only team without a full stadium, especially on the same night that the Islanders are playing in a full arena, which makes no sense to me.
I don't follow baseball, so I didn't even realize that they hadn't upped the capacity yet, I assume. But
no.
I honestly just thought maybe it was because it's the regular season and it's June that people just aren't going to the games that much.
And the
I feel like the NBA playoffs, they've been basically, for the Nets games, they've been basically packing the Barclays Center. I think it's almost all vaccination required. I don't think they have any.
That's what I don't understand. It's it's 20,000 fans there, which seems really, really low. And it's I'll flip on the other channel, and then there's the Islanders, full arena. And it's
like I said, I wonder.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I think some of it might just be lack of want to also, though, because, I know you guys are both big baseball guys, but I feel like regular season baseball, especially early in the season, in, June when people still have work and school, I don't know.
I don't know if the Yankees ever drew 20,000 people, though. That's really, really low.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't understand why they would be. Unless, the only other thing that I can think of is, I'm pretty sure the Yankees, at least when I was looking at it the other day, are still insistent on, having an unvaccinated sections. Which, if you're going to have unvaccinated sections, then, you are required to do the distancing, and then you can't sell as many tickets, too. Where, like I said, I think the Barclays Center, I'm almost positive the Barclays Center, made it where it's just vaccines required across the board, and so they could just pack out the whole arena. Because if everybody's vaccinated, you don't have to worry about distancing or anything like that.
It's annoying being a fan of the only pussy team left in baseball and won't fill their friggin' stadium. Maybe that's why they're losing. It's karma.
Yeah, that and Cashman.
Oh, don't even get me started. I actually was kind of, I don't want to say happy, but we lost to the Phillies last night, and it's just one game of the series, but it's well, you fired him, and now he beat you. That's what you deserve.
Mm.
Oh,
no, they didn't fire him, they just didn't sign him.
Just real quick, because I didn't plug it before. So I still do Deep Blitz, which we're dropping every week, sometimes Friday morning, sometimes Thursday morning.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about right now? It's Jim.
That's the thing. We've kind of
having the best offense in the NFL, of course.
Yeah, sure. But we did talk about the Julio trade this week. But every week there's like little NFL nuggets to talk about. Like I said, this week we had the Julio trade and OTAs. But we've also started getting into offshoot topics, where 2 weeks ago we did our favorite sauces, and this week we did our favorite video games. So I was curious if you guys wanted to add anything to either of those lists.
Make your brother watch a wrestling show with you and do a short review on that.
I'm trying. One day it's going to happen. He's been to wrestling events with me. I think I've said it. He was at the ROH when the Hardys showed up and surprised won the titles from the Young Bucks.
Do the WrestleMania with Lawrence Taylor in the main event, so it's like a tie-in.
Yes.
But I'm
going to make sure it's like really terrible wrestling, probably, because I don't think you would enjoy like
Pac-Man Jones. Pac-Man Jones and TNA would fit that bill.
He's back. It's Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, I already mentioned favorite game was Final Fantasy VII, both the original and the remake. But favorite sauce? There was a barbecue sauce in St. Louis that I had that was really, really, really good. And I don't remember the restaurant, but it would take a while, but I could look it up and find it. But I'm not going to do that now. But it was near a park, just so you know. It was across the street from a park.
Our talk was more chain sauces, because we were saying, like, if you go local, there's a couple of different places. Like, there's an Italian place that we both really love the marinara sauce from here. But we also have a really good kind of
chain
barbecue.
Sauce? Talk more about chain.
Fast food, chicken sandwiches, pizza.
Chain sauce. Sauces,
whatever.
Chain sauce. That's tough.
Raising Cane's.
That's a good one. Yeah. I might go with that one just because I can't think of anything else.
Like just awesome. Just for anybody who didn't hear, which I'm sure is you guys. My brother's number one was the garlic parmesan from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
I forget which specifically I had number one, because I feel like my favorite sauce switches day to day. But I know, like, Sweet Heat from Popeyes is one of my favorites. And we talked about, like, the even, like, the garlic butter sauce from Domino's and Mango Habanero. And McDonald's has surprisingly, like, some of the best buffalo sauce that I've ever had, which is still weird to me. But, yeah, so we have, like, we spent a good amount of an episode just talking about that. We've also been talking a lot about the latest occurrences in the NBA and all the issues with fans. And everything going on with that.
No. Well, I mean, at least they're not throwing cups and bottles like at soccer, so could be worse.
And we missed our chance, although we'll probably talk about it this week, to talk about the Suns and Four guy.
Oh, amazing.
The best video ever.
Well, I know Caleb has to get going. I'm going to watch Elektra, which will probably suck, but...
Oh my god, Elektra is so bad.
Spoilers. There is one aspect of it I'm looking forward to talking about, but you'll have to tune in 2.5 weeks for that.
Spoiler alert! It's Jennifer Garner's ass.
No, I'm not a chauvinist.
I am.
Okay.
What's coming out? Oh, The Incredibles is coming out this week.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good. We didn't have to go deep dive into the cast because they were doing voice acting.
Yeah, we got our double dose of Coach Hayden Fox.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought you meant Jonathan Coachman.
No.
One Craig dose T. is Nelson. Plenty. Yeah, Craig T. Nelson, because he was in Devil's Advocate, too, playing not Donald Trump. Anyway.
Yeah, I love Devil's Advocate. I watched that movie.
Well, I'm glad you were able to join us to talk about it.
No, I did not watch Devil's Advocate.
You would enjoy it.
I've been going to the movie theater every week to see modern movies so that you guys can kill time talking about other genres of movies from 15, 20, 30 years ago.
40 years ago, sir?
Even worse. Wait, which one was 40 years? Devil's Advocate isn't 40 years
Exorcist.
Ago. Exorcist. Yeah, that movie's junk.
Well, if I've never seen it, then it doesn't matter what year it came out.
Yep, exactly.
I didn't get on that, but I hope you guys tore apart The Exorcist, because that movie stinks. And I'm sure it was good in its time. I could see why when it came out people were scared, but it just is so cheap. Like, watching it in modern times, it's so cheesy and does not hold up at all. It's like the opposite of Blazing Saddles, which to me is, like, timeless and will never get old. Exorcist got old a week after it came out.
Well, you should have joined us to talk about it, because we have the opposite take.
People are getting the bonus now. They're getting the other side of the aisle, which is Exorcist stinks and is a dated movie and is, like I said, the polar opposite of Blazing Saddles, which to me is, like, maybe the most timeless movie ever.
Well, he's wrong, and we are the guys that brought you Hardly Heroes. We're going to get out of here. Have a good Sunday, and God bless you.
I have a Loki quote. I am Loki of Asgard, and I am burdened with glorious purpose.